Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Thank you so much for coming back for our Friday show after we took last Friday off from this one. And thank you for being understanding that family and friends come first. I mean, I don't miss many days during the NFL season. I could probably count on one hand the days that I've taken off during the fall over the last decade or so. But when it's big life events, I can't say no. So I appreciate everybody being cool about that. And I also apologize if you can hear the construction outside of my house right now. I'm hoping that it's not as loud on the recording as it is in my office at the moment, but we will try to clean it up as much as possible in the edit. Now, what a Friday episode we got for you today. We're going to go over all the notable injuries like we always do, but we got to start with Christian McCaffrey getting traded to the 49ers. We heard the rumors that it was coming, that the Rams, the 49ers, even the Bills were all in the mix. But San Francisco ends up being the one who comes away with a major upgrade in their backfield. And the price was steep for a running back, a second, a third, fourth round picks in 2023, and then a 2024 fifth rounder as well. So great job by Carolina to get a haul for a running back, because we don't see that happen very often anymore. But you also don't see many running backs like Christian McCaffrey. And we can debate here whether the 49ers overpaid, but I don't really care about that. We just want to figure out what this means for fantasy. So let's start on the 49ers side, because the Panthers side is just a little bit depressing. And the 49ers side, I mean, it might be depressing too, I guess, if you have Elijah Mitchell or Jeff Wilson on your roster, because we had so much hope for Mitchell that he would return from the knee injury in week 10 after their bye, that he could pick up where they left off and he could have a really strong finish to the season. And maybe that could still happen, but it's going to take a Christian McCaffrey injury for it to actually go down now. So Mitchell, he is just going to be a backup stash. He's in that mix of guys like an Alexander Mattison, that kind of grouping where, you know, if the starter goes down, they can produce, but they're going to need that injury in order to give you fantasy value. Jeff Wilson, on the other hand, has had some good games. He's been scripted out of some others while he's been filling in for Mitchell. He could still be used this week because McCaffrey's just joining the team on Friday. So that's a very short turnaround. They're saying that he's likely going to suit up. That's probably true, but I wouldn't expect him to be used much. There were a few reports that he could maybe factor in around the goal line and some of those packages, but highly unlikely that he's going to see significant volume after showing up to the team just 2 days before they play. And Kyle Shanahan, he made it sound like McCaffrey might not even be active. So we'll see what happens there. After that, though, Wilson is really just going to be a drop candidate. I mean, as long as Mitchell's recovery is going well, and right now all signs point to him coming back, then you're going to be able to drop Wilson because you're going to have CMC in town. He's the proven star now. We're not as worried about this being that revolving door that Kyle Shanahan's had over the last 5 or 6 seasons in San Francisco when it comes to his backfield. Just constantly a new starter every year. Not anymore, right? McCaffrey, he's under contract for a couple more seasons, and he is going to be the guy. He's going to be a focal point of that offense. And this could also be good news for Trey Lance in 2023, but we'll save that conversation for another day when we're talking about Dynasty. For this year, McCaffrey is locked in as a top 2 fantasy back overall. It is him. It is Saquon Barkley. So if you have McCaffrey, yes, his value does go up based on this news. He escapes that Panthers offense. He goes to a team with a strong rushing attack, a team that should provide him with lots of scoring opportunities, something that he wasn't getting in Carolina. And the 49ers, they get the Seahawks, the Commanders, and the Raiders during the fantasy playoffs. So CMC could be a very big difference maker down the stretch. You got to be excited about that. For the pass catchers in this offense, though, it's a small drop in value for them just based on the added target competition. Because for somebody like Deebo Samuel, let's say, he might not need to take as many backfield touches now with CMC there, now that they have that proven guy. He still will get some, but it won't be as frequent, I would imagine. So Deebo's a low-end wide receiver 1, high-end wide receiver 2 now for me. Brandon Ayuk, really nice schedule in the second half of the year, we should say, for that passing attack, but he's already been kind of inconsistent. Another set of hands in the passing game, that's not great news for Ayuk, so he's more of a wide receiver 3 flex. And then any hope that George Kittle was going to return to big double-digit target numbers, that's not going to happen now. So Kittle, just a mid-range tight end 1, he'll have the odd big spiked week where he puts up elite numbers, but it's not going to happen as often as it used to. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, somehow Jimmy Garoppolo comes out as a winner again in all of this because he has one of the most complete sets of skill position players in the NFL now. So Jimmy is a legit high-end QB2, somebody who you can start with confidence as an injury replacement or a bye week fill-in the rest of the way. So that's where it stands with San Francisco. Now, in Carolina, there isn't much in terms of positives to draw from this. DJ Moore's been having an awful year already just due to the brutal quarterback play that they're giving him. And I mean, entering the season, he had a career catch rate of over 60%. This season, it's been down at 45.5%. And now you have McCaffrey gone. Do we really see this offense moving the ball and getting into scoring position that often? I don't. So whatever Moore adds in volume, it's likely going to be offset by the inefficiency of that offense and by the subpar quarterback play, because whether it's Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold, who might come back soon, or PJ Walker, who's been announced as a starter this week, there are no good options in that quarterback room. And now the team is clearly tanking, so they're going to have no incentive to win games and to succeed the rest of the way. And apparently, they don't want to trade Moore. So he is trapped in a bad situation where he's going to be a volume-dependent wide receiver three flex for fantasy. I mean, all you can hope is that next year they get him a quarterback in the draft. They got all these picks now. They got to move up and they got to get him a real quarterback to play with. I wouldn't go after any of the other pass catchers here. I mean, outside of stashing them in deep dynasty leagues just to see if they can emerge at some point, because Laviska Shenault, Terrace Marshall, Shai Smith, they're all just sort of long-term dynasty stashes. There's no real redraft value there. And then in the backfield, Steve Wilks said that it's going to be a hot hand approach, that they're going to go with a committee off the bat. But Deonta Foreman, he has been the clear number two back recently, and he's had more success as a pro than the other guys there, especially Chuba Hubbard. So remember, I mean, Foreman last year, RB22 in fantasy points per game down the stretch. When Derrick Henry went down in Tennessee and Foreman took over, it was like week 12 on, was the RB22 in fantasy points per game. Now, this is a much different situation, a much different offense, but still, Foreman can be a competent starter in real life. He's just capped as a volume-dependent RB3 flex for fantasy. And Hubbard, he'll take some of the passing down work. He'll challenge for the lead role, but he's really just a dart throw stash and redraft, just until we see how all this works out post-CMC. And in the absolute deepest of dynasty leagues, you could look at rookie Raheem Blackshear. He could be a stash too. Maybe he rises to the top of the depth chart, but that is an incredible long shot, but one you could take in the deepest of leagues. So that's how I'm viewing it all after what was a very exciting end to the night last night. Although, I mean, the Thursday night game wasn't that bad, right? It was a weird game, and we had a lot of lower level guys putting up fantasy days, like having, you know, touchdowns and having long catches and stuff. It was a strange game in that respect, but it's nice to see a ton of fantasy points scored in a game. I mean, on a Thursday nighter, 42-34 was the final. The Cardinals get the win, and the game was really over in the final few minutes of the first half because it was very close up until then. And then Arizona picked off Andy Dalton twice near the end of the second quarter, returned both of them for touchdowns. So all of a sudden, they had a two-score lead at halftime. They never really looked back after that. And I mean, guys like Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, they had solid stat lines. Andy Dalton somehow overcame three interceptions, mostly thanks to garbage time. He finished with 361 yards and four touchdowns. Not that you were really starting him outside of 2QB and Superflex leagues. Taysom Hill, he continues to be that boomer bust tight end one for fantasy. He had a 3-yard receiving touchdown that sort of saved his day this week, because other than that, he had 3 carries for 9 yards. He threw 2 passes. One of them was a big one, had 48 yards through the air, but that's just a couple fantasy points when you put it all together. So it was really the touchdown that was key for him. But like we've talked about before, that still makes him a pretty solid tight end option for fantasy based on what you're looking at in fantasy in terms of the low end tight end ones and the streaming options. You're probably going to want to get Taysom Hill in your lineup more weeks than not. Juwan Johnson, the other tight end there, he got a pair of touchdowns. He's been kind of a sneaky streamer option for a while. I've been ranking him as a low-end tight end too most weeks, but this was a huge outing for him. 5 catches, 32 yards, and the 2 scores, like I mentioned. Other than that, the Saints relied on a 64-yard catch from Kevin White. You're not going to get that every week. And a 53-yard touchdown grab from Rashid Shaheed, who has turned into this big play threat. He just does it once a week, right? These are 2 weeks in a row now where he has these huge plays. But let's hope that Michael Thomas, that Jarvis Landry, we want to see these guys back soon and actually see what this offense can be. And maybe we'll get Jameis Winston back in week 8 after Dalton had the turnover party in prime time. And then for the Cardinals, I didn't think that Kyler Murray played very well, but because of those defensive touchdowns, they kind of cracked the game wide open, and Murray didn't have to do too much. So he had an okay fantasy day. It wasn't a day that was going to lose your week or anything like that, but didn't really blow up in this one. DeAndre Hopkins really changed the dynamic of that offense, though. His first game back, 10 catches, 103 yards. I mean, really nice for him. Fresh legs. He got it done. 14 targets in that game. And this is why I mentioned him as a buy low a couple weeks ago. The only problem is entering this week, I ranked him too low. I had him as wide receiver 19 for this matchup because I was playing it cautious. I thought we had an older player coming back from a PED suspension, not 100% confident in him, but Hopkins was great. He's going to be a wide receiver one for fantasy moving forward. And Eno Benjamin, he really bounced back. He had a pretty bad game, kind of underwhelming last week in week six. And then this week he comes out, he pours in 113 yards from scrimmage and a score. So excellent showing for him. The rookie behind him, Keontae Ingram, who was backing him up, he also found the end zone once, almost came close to a second one as well. So really nice night for the Cardinals backfield. Their value is pretty temporary though, because once James Conner returns, we're going to see him step back into that lead role. And then that's really it from the Thursday nighter. I mean, D-Hop kind of sucked the life out of the other Cardinals pass catchers because he had so many targets. So Rondo Moore, Zach Ertz, they had really disappointing games. That could be a problem for them now, especially, I mean, Ertz's biggest days in Arizona, they've come when Hopkins has been out of the lineup for the most part. So the volume he was getting late last season, the volume he was getting early this year, it might start to dry up a little bit, but that's enough about the Thursday nighter. We don't need to spend any more time on that. Let's move on. Let's go over the rest of the injuries that could impact your fantasy lineups in week seven, and we'll do it position by position like usual. We'll keep it nice and clean. We will start with the quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, they are both expected to return this week, so that is huge news for their offenses. They're both top 12 fantasy quarterbacks for week seven. Aaron Rodgers, he's got that right thumb issue. He's been playing through it, though, so no concerns there. Kenny Pickett, he cleared concussion protocol today. He's been practicing normally all week, so the expectation right now is that he is going to play and he is going to start in this one, and it's a little surprising after the Tua concussion situation, but all concussions are different, and Mike Tomlin said from the start that if Pickett is cleared, he is going to be the quarterback, so that's what's going to happen. And the good news here is, I mean, all the Steelers pass catchers are in play again. Deontay Johnson, he's a low-end wide receiver two. George Pickens, a wide receiver three flex. And even Chase Claypool had that good game last week when Mitch Trubisky came in. He's a wide receiver four flex type with Kenny Pickett under center. Even Pat Freiermuth, he missed last week's game with concussion. He's in play as a tight end one again now. So exciting times for that passing attack. And let's see if Kenny Pickett in a better matchup finally can start to get something going there. Now, there are some quarterbacks who are at risk of not suiting up this week. Russell Wilson, he's dealing with the lat strain. He played through that in week six, and then he picked up a hamstring injury in that one on Monday night, and he's been limited in practice. He is back out there again today, though. His backup, Brett Rypien, has took most of the walkthrough snaps. I mean, he did that on Wednesday. On Thursday, it was more of a split, so I haven't seen an update on Friday of actually how it was broken down, but we'll see if Russ can once again play through all these injuries. I did see one quote from Nathaniel Hackett, beat writer Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos had it, that Hackett said, quote, "We want to put somebody out there that's healthy and can go out there and play at a high level," end quote. So deciphering, I mean, it's a very boring quote, but when you're trying to decipher what Hackett's thoughts are, it could be tough, but it sounds like to me that that might have been setting the stage that maybe Russ won't play in this game. But if he continues to practice, then he's probably going to play this week. So either way, I mean, with the way Russ is playing, with him having a hamstring injury, that's going to limit any sort of rushing potential he could have. You're not starting him this week, but I would keep an eye on it just in deeper 2QB Superflex leagues, because if you need somebody for bye weeks at quarterback, Rypien, I mean, maybe he could get out there for you. It'd be a really thin play, but maybe you could go with him if you don't have any other options. So everybody would get a bump down if Russ misses, but the Jets defense is also a factor in that because they're playing pretty well right now. It's not really a great spot for anybody here. Mac Jones, he says he's going to be available for the Patriots Monday night game against the Bears. Now, whether New England wants to play him or not, that's another story. And I know they've said Jones is going to be the starter as soon as he's healthy, but it's possible they could choose to give him another week of rest, in part just to play it safe with the ankle, and then also in part because Bailey Zappe has been doing a fine job in relief, right? So either way, not much changes regardless of who's under center in New England. On to running backs. Saquon Barkley, I talked about that shoulder injury on Monday. He's been limited in practice, but Brian Daboll, he said he's not concerned, so Barkley's going to be out there this week. Just be mindful that this could continue to be a problem, could cost him some practice time, might even cost him a game at some point. Hopefully not, but could be the case when you're talking about a shoulder injury for a running back. Jonathan Taylor, he's back to full practices after he missed some time with that ankle issue. Nyheim Hines, he's been cleared from the concussion protocol. So seems like the Colts backfield is going to be restored to their usual depth chart this week. Let's just hope that Taylor can avoid any aggravations because ankles can be tricky like that, right? So it's possible they could dial back his touches a bit in the first game. But the fact that Taylor said that he kept himself out last week, that's probably a pretty good sign that now he's back to full practices. He got that extra time to heal. He's going to be good to go. So he'll be a fringe RB1 for this game in my rankings. DeAndre Swift, he's trending towards getting back in the lineup, coming off their bye week. And I wish he was practicing in full. Maybe on Friday he will be out there in full. Right now I haven't seen the Friday practice update for the Lions. He's just been limited Wednesday and Thursday, coming off the shoulder and ankle issues. But still, all signs are pointing towards him playing. So he'll be in that low-end RB1, high-end RB2 mix for his first game back. J.K. Dobbins, he hasn't been out there at all this week for practice after he left early in last week's game with what they called knee tightness. Seems really unlikely that he's going to play in week 7, so it'll be some combination of Kenyon Drake and Justice Hill, maybe Gus Edwards if he gets activated. Now, Hill's been out with the hamstring recently, but before that, he looked spry. He's been back to full practices this week, so I imagine he's going to play. Edwards is getting close, but they haven't announced whether he's going to be out there or not. They have until Saturday at 4 p.m. to make that call, so I would expect some sort of committee. My projection right now is that it's going to be Drake as an RB3 flex leading the way, that Hill would then be the next guy, and he would be a risky flex option in his first game back, even though he did play over Drake before he got hurt. And then if Edwards plays, it's really anybody's guess at that point, because I wouldn't want to trust him in his first game back. So we're going to be watching for more information on this one, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a great read on this Ravens backfield at the moment. Damian Harris, he was out with the hamstring issue last week, and that really unlocked Ramondre Stevenson as an RB1 for fantasy, but Harris has been back to full practices already, so looks like he's going to return sooner than expected, which that'll push Ramondre from a top 5 fantasy option to an RB2, sort of a top 15, top 20 guy, somewhere in that range. And Harris returns as an RB3 flex in a game that the Patriots should really control. So could see enough scoring opportunities to make both Pats backs usable in fantasy, especially when you're talking about bye weeks happening this week. Maybe you need somebody. If Harris is active, he's somebody that you could throw into your lineup. And then the last RB that I'll mention is Joshua Kelly. And I'm pretty sure I brought this up on Monday's injury show, but Kelly's out 2 to 4 weeks with a knee injury. So Sony Michel, he is the new number 2 in that Chargers offense, and he should have flex value this week. I mean, they're going up against the Seahawks defense, and Seattle's a top 10 matchup for fantasy running backs, so might have some opportunities for touchdowns there. And then Michelle, he's also now just one Austin Eckler injury away from being the lead back in one of the better offenses in the league, so he should be rostered everywhere. He was a stash in my stash section and start, sit, stash, quit this week. Over to the injured receivers. This guy isn't injured, but I wanted to mention Elijah Moore because he clearly isn't happy with the way that he's being used in that Jets offense. Didn't have a catch last week. He's behind Garrett Wilson and behind Corey Davis in the pecking order now. And Moore expressed his frustration this week with the team, even asked for a trade, which the team has absolutely shut down any chance of that. And Moore took what seemed to be a mental health day on Thursday, and then he came back on Friday. And today, Robert Saleh said that they won't be trading him. He confirmed that. And he said that Moore isn't going to play this week either. They want him to take a week off. And these are my words, not his. It seems like they want him to cool off a little bit before they put him back out on the field. So not that you're going to start Elijah Moore anyway. And not that you're overly excited about anybody in that Jets passing attack because they're going up against the Broncos defense this week. But just making sure that's on your radar. I would say that you could drop more in fantasy beyond, you know, really deep leagues for redraft. This is past a squeaky wheel situation, right? It seems like everybody on both sides are pretty pissed off about the way things have been handled. So not great for Moore's 2022 fantasy value moving forward, but we'll continue to monitor it and we'll see if anything happens. Doesn't seem like he's going to be traded though. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins on the Bengals. They've both been limited in practice this week, but no real concerns here. They're not going to miss the game. Higgins was actually back to a full practice on Thursday, so that's a great sign for him after he had the ankle issue, and that kind of slowed him down a little bit last week, and that was a reason why I was suggesting him as a buy low candidate back on Wednesday's show. So Chase, he's been limited with a hip issue. That one seemed maybe a little bit more concerning early in the week, but they've confirmed, the head coach, Zach Taylor, said Chase is going to be out there, so I'm not really worried about that. I think they're both going to play well against that Falcons defense. Same goes for CeeDee Lamb. He was limited Wednesday. He got back to a full practice on Thursday. He's got a hip issue too at the moment, but not one that's going to cost him any time. And now he's going to get Dak Prescott back. So could be another boost here for Lamb's value. Rashad Bateman, this one we're not sure about. He's been back to limited practices. Seems like he's trending towards playing, but when he got asked about it today, he said he feels good, but that it was going to come down to Harbaugh's decision whether he was going to play or not. And he's dealing with that midfoot sprain. They might want to play it safe. We've seen them play it safe with some of the other players coming back from injury, whether it be J.K. Dobbins, whether it be Gus Edwards at the moment. So maybe they give Bateman one more week. We're going to have to see what happens there. The Ravens really need him, though. I mean, they need another weapon in that passing attack, and he can give them that legit receiver on the outside. I mean, I like Devin Duvernay. I even like the signing of DeSean Jackson, who he can be that field stretcher still, even at his age, but Bateman is the one that needs to develop into the number one option for Lamar, even though he would still be the second guy behind Mark Andrews. I mean, assuming Andrews is healthy, which we're going to get to a minute. I'll spoil it for you. Yeah, he's going to play this week. Don't worry about it. But we'll talk about him more when we get to the tight end section. I don't want you worrying up until then. Let's finish receivers off with some quick ones here. Tyler Lockett, he hasn't been practicing due to a hamstring injury. I'm worried that this is going to sideline him or really limit him this week. So managers with Lockett, you need to be concerned about this one. And I don't think that any other wideouts in that offense would really step up. Of course, DK Metcalf would still get a ton of work, and he would get a little bump if Lockett were out of the lineup. Of course, Kenneth Walker, he would stay the same. He'd be a great option. The tight ends, I think, might be the biggest beneficiaries. Noah Fant, Will Disley, I think they could get more work. So I would have a replacement in mind for Lockett, even though right now it isn't really getting a ton of headlines, but you might find out on Sunday that he's not playing this week. And then on the other side of the field in that game, similar situation, you have Keenan Allen trying to come back from a hamstring of his own. And this one's really tough because Allen's been back practicing this week. He did sit out, and we know he had that aggravation of that injury. He's been dealing with it for over a month now. And he was back at practice a couple weeks ago, had an aggravation, had to leave with the trainer. Seems like he's close to returning. But he's also mentioned that the Chargers have their bye in week 8, and maybe it makes sense to sit this game out, take another couple weeks, and make sure that you're 100% healthy. So he might not play again. Josh Palmer, who's been stepping in for him, Josh Palmer's in concussion protocol, so he might be out too. And that would leave Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, tight end Gerald Everett, and maybe DeAndre Carter to pick up the slack. And this could be a really up-tempo, exciting shootout of a game. So I'm very interested in it for fantasy. I really like Eckler, Williams, and Everett this week as plays. Jalen Waddle, we talked about that shoulder issue on Monday. He's been limited in practice. He's wearing that red non-contact jersey. His status is still up in the air. If he's out, Trent Sherfield, Cedric Wilson, they could see some more work in his place. Seems like there's a chance that he's going to be able to play, though. So you just worry at that point about any sort of risk of re-injury when it's a shoulder like that and he's playing position where he could take some hits. But we'll know more after Friday's practice. Hunter Renfrow, he was added to the injury report with a hip issue. Seems to be a common one for receivers this week. We've talked about a lot of hip injuries for pass catchers, but you never like a midweek addition to the injury report, especially when it's followed by a DNP. I know Josh McDaniels said that he'll probably practice on Friday, so we'll see if that ends up happening. Renfrow, though, not a guarantee to suit up. That's all we're saying. And he's not the only Raider who could be up against it here. Mac Hollins, another receiver for them. He's been limited with a heel issue, too. Plus, you have Darren Waller at tight end. He's been held out of practice this week, and they're coming off a bye right now, so they should be very healthy. Doesn't seem to be the case. So could be a lot of Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs in this game. And then some quick ones at receiver we'll go through real fast here. I'm tracking all this stuff. I want to make sure that you guys are on top of it too. Jahan Dotson, he had the hamstring setback this week. I highly doubt that he's going to play. I look at this one kind of similar to when Keenan Allen, we just talked about when Keenan Allen left practice a week or two ago. When he leaves with a trainer after he's already dealing with an injury and then he takes a knee and leaves, you worry that this is something that could last a little longer. And sometimes the setbacks can be worse than the initial injury. So his replacement, you then look to Dyami Brown, he's dealing with a groin injury. He's been ruled out this week. So Cam Sims could actually be a deep add if you're really desperate. Just remember, Taylor Heineke's under center. So I doubt we're going to have three viable fantasy receivers in that offense right now. For the Patriots, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, they're banged up. Not sure if they're going to play. Even if they do, I would venture to say they're fourth and fifth in the receiver depth chart in New England now, so not guys you're going to look to. Julio Jones got back to practice at one point this week, then was held out Friday. He's already been ruled out this week, so no Julio yet. In Jacksonville, Marvin Jones, he's still banged up. Jamal Agnew got hurt, so the Jags are down to really, in terms of guys they can trust in the receiving core, Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. That could mean more targets for tight end Evan Ingram, who he's in a revenge spot against the Giants this week. And he's been seeing a decent amount of volume the last couple games, so could be a good one for him. Amon-Ra St. Brown back to full practices. That's why he's buried down here. He already played before the bye. Just great news that he's back to full practices, and that's very exciting for him. But his teammates, Josh Reynolds, DJ Chark, they've been held out of practice this week, and they're coming off the bye. Another team where they're coming off the bye, they should be healthy. And yet these guys aren't, so I'm not expecting them to suit up this week. We could see Tom Kennedy and Khalif Raymond. Those guys could be getting snaps in the receiving core, but really, it'll give Amon-Ra St. Brown a ton of work, and it'll keep tight end TJ Hawkinson relevant for fantasy. He could be a solid tight end one for another week. Kadarius Toney, Kenny Golladay, they're injury show legends at this point. I mean, I'm not even sure why we're mentioning them anymore. Do they even play in the NFL? Yes, they do. They've been ruled out this week. We don't need to go into that anymore. Just make sure you got Wandale Robinson on your roster. And then with Randall Cobb out for the Packers, we'll be watching to see if Sammy Watkins or Christian Watson can get healthy enough to play and step into that number three role in their passing attack. Either way, Alan Lazard, Romeo Doubs, they're good plays. Robert Tonyan, he could be another good play this week. He's coming off his best game of the year, and Aaron Jones should see plenty of work after Aaron Rodgers talked all week about how Aaron Jones needs to get more touches. On to tight ends. We got good news on Friday. Mark Andrews, like I talked about it before, he was back at practice after sitting out Wednesday and Thursday with knee issues, and they did call it rest days, so turned out that's all it was. So having him back out there Friday, that means he's all systems go. Great to see that. If he does ever miss time, though, I imagine everyone knows this, but rookie Isaiah Likely would step in. He would be a potential low-end tight end one for fantasy. So keep that in mind. If Andrews ever misses time, and knock on all of the wood, we do not want to see that happen. But if he does miss time, you quickly go and grab Isaiah Likely and you throw him right in your lineup. He has really flashed on limited targets, even going back to the preseason. I don't expect the news to be really positive for Darren Waller. We touched on that earlier. He suffered the hamstring issue before the week six bye. Now he hasn't been practicing, so seems unlikely he's going to be active for this game. And his backup, Foster Moreau, he returned to practice last week, and now he's been limited in practice this time around, so he might have a shot to take over for relief duty when you're talking about Waller being out. And when Moreau's played with Waller sidelined, he's done okay for fantasy, so Moreau is a streaming option. And if by chance Moreau can't go, then it would be Jesper Horsted, but that is only for the deepest of deep leagues. Hayden Hurst, he's been limited with a groin injury. He is not even on the injury report heading into the weekend, so he is not going to miss this game against his old team, Atlanta. I'd be excited about him as a streamer if you need help in the bye weeks. Dalton Schultz, he has a knee injury, but he is back to full practices, and now you got Dak back out there with him. Schultz fantasy stock is going to start to rise again, so he's a low-end tight end one for now. He could be back up into the top six, top seven in no time. The Commanders tight ends, they're banged up. Logan Thomas has the calf issue. He's been ruled out. John Bates, he's got a hamstring injury. He's questionable, but that does put rookie Cole Turner in position to play a lot again, maybe even start this game. And Turner impressed in camp. He had two catches for 23 yards when he got time last week. And with the injuries to the other tight ends, with the injuries to Jahan Dotson and Diami Brown, Turner could have a decent game here. So he's still just a low-end tight end too. He's a streamer type, but a guy that you could consider. Cameron Brate, he's been ruled out this week. Rookie Kate Otten, solid streamer. A couple weeks ago when he played and Brate was out, he had a really good game. You could use him again here. And then the Texans, they should be getting their young tight end back. Brevin Jordan, he's been out for a few games here with an ankle injury. He's back to full practice, so he's a guy that, once again, you could pick up and stash. I wouldn't play him this week. I would give him another week to see what it looks like, but he is a guy that we had some hope for as a potential breakout candidate this year. And then the last one on my list, I wrote about it in Start, Sit, Stash, Quit. I mentioned it briefly earlier, but Donald Parham, he is in concussion protocol for the Chargers. Gerald Everett, now he was sick early in the week. He got back to a full practice on Thursday, so he's fine. And with Parham in the lineup for the last couple games, Everett's numbers started to dip. But if Parham's out, depending what happens with Keenan Allen and Josh Palmer, Everett could be set up for a really big day here in a great matchup against the Seahawks. One of the best matchups for fantasy tight ends, and another revenge game for a tight end, right? You have Everett going against the Seahawks. You got Ingram going against the Giants. And you got Hayden Hurst going against the Falcons. So we'll be watching to see if they can find the end zone against their old clubs. But that is all for today's show. Go and check out my content, the rankings, trade value charts, start, sit, stash, quit. It is all available for free over at The Score. And I'll be back Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern answering all your questions over on The Score's main Twitter account. So I hope you're going to join me for that. But until then, I haven't done this one in a while, but big thanks to James Gizzy and the Roxwells. They provide the music at the start and at the end of the show. They are fantastic. We thank them for that. And big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time. My baby said leave on time with me.